This podcast is sponsored by CIT.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, September 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. Trading stocks from your computer or your phone, often called day trading, isn't new. But with so many people stuck at home with little else to do, millions more are putting on their investor cap. That's made day trading one of the year's biggest market stories. And sure, you might be able to make some quick cash, but watch out for the tax bill that comes with those trades.
Individual investors have gone from 14% to 20% of the market, but there may be some rude shocks when tax season comes.
Our tax reporter Laura Saunders will talk about how day traders can keep their tax bill in check. That's after the break.
As a leading financial services provider, CIT empowers you with the tools, expertise, and agility to bank like your best days are ahead. That's tomorrow thinking, empowering you to bank like you. Visit CIT.com to get started. Member FDIC.
Apps like Robinhood and online retail trading companies make it easy for people to buy and sell stocks. And with some luck, maybe pick up some quick cash. But many day traders aren't aware that Uncle Sam is waiting right around the corner for his cut. Our tax reporter Laura Saunders is here to explain the tax implications of day trading. So, okay, Laura, tell us how this works. Do people get taxed every time they sell a stock?
A lot of the day trading that's going on right now is happening in so-called taxable accounts. And every time you sell, there could be a gain or a loss. And at the end of the year, you might get 20 or 30 pages of listings of this for the IRS. It's every one of those sales is a, what we call a taxable event. You could have either a gain or that's taxed or a loss that is subtracted from your gains. So it gets pretty complicated pretty fast.
So a lot of people go in and out of the stock market almost on a daily basis. They see the stock go up and they sell, and then they go in, they buy another one. And it seems like the IRS is just waiting on the other side with a cash register.
Yeah, well, it's really, yes, that's true. It's really Congress. Congress makes these laws. But, you know, at the end of the year, you're going to get a document that has all the trades in it. And if they're options trades, it's even more complicated. But people should really pay attention to their taxes. Now, it's not like that with if you're trading inside of an IRA or another retirement account like a 401k or a Roth IRA. They have different rules. You don't owe taxes on those trades. But say Robinhood is a very popular app right now. They don't allow trading within your IRA. You have to have a taxable account. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when tax time rolls around next year.
You know, trading stocks isn't always for the faint of heart, but some apps like Robinhood, like you mentioned, and investment houses have made it pretty easy and tempting to buy and sell.
They make it so easy to use. Like Robinhood, people say again and again how even if you don't know anything, they'll bring you right into it. Robinhood has confetti when you make certain kinds of trades. It sort of comes down over the screen and a big button for a certain kind of buy and a little button for a certain kind of cancel order. And so it's the other websites look kind of stodgy in comparison. And sometimes they almost seem like Netflix or Amazon, that they tell you what other people are buying or other people are selling, and they make suggestions and they give you free shares and things like that. It's a different user experience from the traditional sites like Fidelity or Schwab. And of course, all the trades are no commissions, no commission trades. The traditional brokers like Fidelity and Schwab do this now too. So that encourages trading all over the markets, that you can go into Schwab or Fidelity and have no commissions and a lot of trades. So this is all ginning up trading for everybody.
And then there's a woman from New Jersey that you spoke with who likes to trade online. She got a bit of a shock in her mailbox recently.
She was a student, and she wanted to be an investor, and she started buying and selling, and she got a 12-page document her first year, and she couldn't understand it, didn't make any sense, but she really has learned, and she has learned that she really likes to hold things for longer than a year so that the tax rate is lower. It's a long-term capital gain instead of a short-term capital gain, and so it's, you know, she's used it as a learning opportunity, but I think there may be a lot of learning opportunities next spring.
Now, you mentioned capital gains. So tax-wise, how are the numbers different depending upon how long someone holds a stock before they sell it?
Well, it's very, very different from ordinary income like wages. Like, there's nothing set aside for withholding. There's no Social Security or Medicare tax on it or anything like that. But the big thing is that when you sell, you have a capital gain or a capital loss. If you hold your stock for a year or less, it's a short-term gain, and it's taxed at much higher rates than if it's a long-term gain and you hold it for more than a year. But for instance, if your tax rate on a long-term gain would be 15%, your tax rate on a similar short-term gain that you held for less than a year, maybe just a week, would be at least 22%. And maybe much higher. So people should take this seriously.
You know, a lot of people doing this, using apps or websites to trade, they're probably fairly inexperienced and probably aren't aware of all these details.
Well, yes, I got some interesting data from Robinhood Markets, which has the Robinhood app, and this is the one that's just really caught everybody's attention this year. In the first 4 months of 2020, they had 3 million new accounts, and 1.5 million, that is half the 3 million new accounts, were from first-time investors. Now, they're really proud of this because they think they're democratizing investment, and it has really made a huge difference in the markets this year. It's you know, individual investors have gone from 14% to 20% of the market, but there may be some rude shocks when tax season comes.
So can you explain how people can select which shares to sell in order to, you know, lighten their tax bill?
The two things that tax pros do are that they time the sale of winners and losers so that they offset each other, so they don't pay a lot of taxes. Like if it gets to be December and you've got some excess losses, maybe you want to take some gains because you can buy the stock right back right away. So the timing is really important. And the other thing is choosing lots. Because a capital gain is based on the difference between your buying price and your selling price. And if you bought shares at different prices, like some shares for five and one, some shares for seven, then if you sell at nine, it makes a difference which lots you sold in terms of how much tax you owe. And you're allowed to pick the shares you want to sell. So savvy investors really pick their lots very carefully when they're selling based on whether they want to have a gain or a loss. The beauty of the tax system is that losses can offset gains dollar for dollar. And so you can really reduce your tax. Of course, nobody likes to have losses, but you can time very much. You can often time when you have losses and gains and do it in a strategic way.
All right. So for a lot of people, these taxes can really sneak up and add up during the year as they're trading. So what are some words to the wise for people to prepare themselves for the tax hit that's coming?
The way that they can get themselves ready is to keep pretty close track of what their trades are, and especially what their lots are, and what their net capital gains and losses are, because that's what you want to do. You want to square this up before the end of the year so you're not paying more tax than you need to pay. Say that you find out at the end of the year that you have lots of gains and you had losses, but you didn't take them. If you take those losses in January, you can't carry them back to shelter the gains from December. You have to pay the tax on those gains. And then you have to hope you make some gains in January to soak up the January losses. There are a lot of good things in the tax code for investors, a lot of flexibility that other provisions don't have about wages and things like that, but you need to understand how they work.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Laura Saunders. Laura, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.